Can you tell me about the Meilenberg name?
The Meilenberg name has been around for quite a while. My husband's folks came and bought this place in August of 1911 and more or less kind of homesteaded out here, was my understanding, and built a barn and built a house. Moved into this house in 1918, and he had some family, some brothers and sisters around, and he came from Iowa. Andrew came from Iowa, and he married Maud Hull, and they had seven children that was born here and raised. And I married Glenn Meilenberg on June 16th of 1951. And that union created four children, two of which are still living.
Okay. Can you tell me what they did, what his family did when they moved here?
Well, most of them farmed.
Okay.
At that time, that was the biggest thing here. At the time was the farming.
Okay. Now we'll talk about a difficult subject, death and dying, and I'll have you start with telling me about your first husband's death.
Yes, my first husband died in May of 1977. He had been a diabetic since he was 13 years old, which resulted in blindness, and which the blindness started in 1961. And then he had to have both eyes removed because it went into glaucoma, and the medication counteracted the diabetes part, so they removed the eyes. And he was blind for 14 years.
Was that procedure done in La Grande?
No, it was done in Portland.
Okay.
At that time, La Grande didn't have anything like that. And so we had gone to Portland, and that's where he had both of them removed. And he was a strong character, and he bounced back and good time afterwards. And the one remark that I will say was when he realized he couldn't see again, he said, "I'm going to go home and regroup my forces, milk my cows, build my fence, feed my steers." And I says, "Whatever you do, don't ask me to milk your cows again." Well, it was twice in 14 years that I milked, because either he was sick, gone, or the kids weren't here, so I had to milk.
So otherwise, he did all of those things on his own.
He did all those things on his own, and a lot of people that would come by and see him really had to admire him for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't let anything stop him. He went ahead and did what he could. He said blindness was not a handicap, it was a nuisance.
Was there any support in this area for the blind?
Well, yes, there was to a certain extent, but we did a lot of it on our own.
What kinds of things could have been available then?
More counseling.
Counseling?
I think more counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And there could have been some counseling, and we just didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But the trust in the good Lord up above in our fellowship with the church,
mm-hmm.
and our family and friends is what helped us,
mm-hmm.
more than anything.
Did he do any shopping or going to town, running errands?
No, well, not really. But he did a lot of things around home.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make a stew, he'd make coffee, he'd hang my clothes, he'd pull my clothes, he'd mop my kitchen floor.
Wow.
One of the family members called me one day, wanted to know what he was doing. I said, well, when I talked to him, he was mopping my kitchen floor. Well, how does he know when it's clean? I says, well, how does your husband know when he sanded something to know that it's sanded right? I says, you use your hands. And you use your hands more than you realize, mm-hmm. than your sight.
Wow. So he was blind for 14 years.
Yes.
And how did his illness end?
Well, it was hard. I had known for quite a while that he had a place in his heart that could go at any time. Mm-hmm. And I would say that was about 5 years that I knew this. And our son was married that evening about 8 o'clock. And at midnight, I had to go and knock on his door and tell him his dad's gone.
So he died of a heart attack?
You could say that.
A heart failure?
A heart failure of some kind.
So what is the procedure that, what year was that?
1977, May.
Okay.
1977.
So how did you handle that?
Well, we called the ambulance. And they come and got him and took him to the hospital, and of course, then they called the mortuary, mm-hmm. and they took him, and it was then the cell, and so then the process was telling the family that this had happened, and of course I was working at the time, but. It's just something that everybody has to go through.
Mm-hmm. Was there support available to you from the hospital?
Not that I can recall.
Okay.
There could have been.
And what about the community?
That's where your family and friends, and your Christian friends, your church friends, really support you.
Mm-hmm. So then you had funeral services at Daniel's?
Yes.
Was that the same Daniel's as it then?
That it is today.
That it is today.
Yes.
Same location, same building.
Same building and everything, except Dale Prophet, who owns the place, is not there. He has retired, mm-hmm. but he still remains a real close friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used him for two other husbands and my son.
Yeah,
well, in fact, my little girl, when she passed away, why we used the same building, the same mortuary, but it was a different name at that. Well, I guess it was the same name, but it was under Norm Daniels then, and then Dale Prophet bought it after that.
Okay. Can you tell me about that, the death of your daughter?
She was what was called a myotonia congenita. Congenital is from birth, and amyotonia is the nerve in the spine has never developed or it's just not there. She grew in length, and she lived to be 14 months old, and I had to tooth feeder her last 4 months.
Mm-hmm. So what did you discover this at her birth?
No. It was 2 to 3 months afterwards. And the doctor kept asking me if she could turn over, if she would turn over, and I said no. So then he said that there was something wrong, and we took her to 2 or 3, 4 doctors. We took her down to Shriners, and they all said the same thing. And he had told us right from the very beginning what she had, and that he had known of 5 other cases at that time, and this was a pediatrician
mm-hmm.
that told us that.
So with this particular illness, was there support available to you locally?
Not really, because back then there wasn't that support like they have now, because
mm-hmm.
that was back in, she was born in 55, and she passed away in January of 57, so
okay.
The support groups that they have now just wasn't there as much as what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Did she die at home or
yeah.
in the hospital?
No, she was in the hospital, because she had had a choking spell the night before, and so we took her up to the hospital, and she died at the hospital. And here again, why you go through the process again. You put your chin up and you put one foot in front of the other and go on.
Mm-hmm. Now at that time, she would have had siblings at home. Were they old enough to understand what was going on?
I think they did, because they were 3 and 4 at the time. And they kind of knew that she wasn't able to get up and walk around.
Mm-hmm. But they weren't in school or around any other system that would have helped them through that.
Mm-mm.
They were at home.
Mm-mm. They were at home.
Okay.
So, this happened before they were school age.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me about your next dealings with death.
The next dealings with death was 15 months after Glenn passed away, and that's when I lost my youngest son in a pickup wreck. He was 20 years old. He was a wrestler. He had been a wrestler since the fourth grade, and he graduated in 76 from the Grand. And he was attending Oregon State and was a member of the fraternity, the Alpha Gamma Rho fraternity house. And he would have been the president of the house that fall if he would have been able to go back to school.
Mm-hmm. With his death being an accident, how was that different in the community as far as their support and then rallying around you?
Well, that was a shock, the first thing. And, of course, here again, your family, your friends, the students, and your church family rallied around.
Mm-hmm. How do you think it affected the students?
I'm sure it affected them deeply because he was quite a popular young fellow. Everybody looked up to him. And he still gets talked about today.
Can you tell me why he gets talked about today? Not just because of good memories, but there's something else special that happens in his honor.
Well, the one honor that is remembered is the Oregon Trail Meilenberg Wrestling Tournament that's held in December. And that's gone on the 26 years that he's been gone.
How was that organized?
Well, at first it was just the group. The wrestling tournament, or the wrestling group at the high school. And then later on, the Lions Club has sponsored it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how long they'll sponsor it, but then hopefully for a good long time yet.
Mm-hmm. Did someone approach you to start this, or was it your idea?
No, they did it. They did it because everybody knew him so well. And so that's why they put this in his honor. And I have missed 1 year in the 26 years of attending this tournament and helping to pass out the trophy.
Mm-hmm. It's a special honor?
Yes, very special.
So you then had another experience after your son.
Well, then I remarried and was married for 2 years and 4 months, and I lost him with cancer. He was quite the fisherman, and we would go down to the river to Richland and fish for catfish every weekend.
Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Lee Morgan.
Lee Morgan.
Mm-hmm. And he had 2 girls. And here again, when he passed away, well, I used Daniel's Valley funeral home, and here again, family and friends supported me, and then later after that, well, then I married Charles Brown from Pendleton. I had known Charlie for, he figured out, 25, 26 years, helped him raise his kids when he first came here, and then I lost him in 2002 with cancer.
So both of them had cancer at a different source?
Yes, Lee had lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, Charlie died of Hodgkin's lymphoma. And usually it's curable, but it had such a hold on him that the chemo did not help him at all. And then I lost him in May of 2000.
So given the fact that they both had cancer, the treatment was not available in the Grand, I'm assuming?
No. We went to Walla Walla. Lee would not take the chemo because they said that the chemo would not do anything for him. It would resist it, and it was the type that wouldn't work. He had a lot of cancer in his family, and he says, I've seen him go through the treatment, and he just didn't want to do that.
So. Did he have a local doctor? Did both of them have a local doctor?
Yeah, Lee was a veteran, so he used the Walla Walla Hospital. Mm-hmm. And Charlie had one of the local doctors here, but we went to Walla Walla for treatment.
Did you find that they were supportive?
Yes. Oh, yes. Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. And if you want to make yourself feel good, just go over there to the cancer center and you'll walk out of there feeling mighty thankful for your help.
You had his memorial also at Daniel's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So.
Has Daniel's chapel changed at all?
Well, not really. I think it's changed a little bit with Dale not being there.
Mm-hmm.
But then they still are doing okay.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the interior and the exterior of the building,
I think it's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. And the way that they have done their services throughout the years,
mm-hmm.
has that changed at all?
Well, yeah, in some ways. But I don't know that it's changed all that much.
Mm-hmm.
But the changes more or less are with the request of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I didn't have an open casket for my son because this was a request that he had that he didn't want anybody looking at him, so I kept the casket closed.
Okay. Were all of the family members that you described, were they buried in the Grand?
Yes.
Are they all in the same cemetery?
No.
Okay.
My little girl is buried in Island City, and my first husband and son is buried up at Grandview. Lee is buried in Union, and Charlie is buried in Portland at the Sunset Family Cemetery by his granddaughter.
Were the burial practices the same across the board?
Yes, pretty much the same. I think they pretty much run everything about the same. Of course, there's a few things I suppose that they do differently.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, he didn't really use Finley's except for just the burial down there.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had the service here in the Grand with Charlie and took him down there.
Mm-hmm. Has it always been, as far as purchasing a plot and different things like that, has that always been handled through Daniel?
You can. I was very fortunate that my dad had bought plots up in Grandview years ago, and I was able to use those plots. Our little girl is buried at the foot of her grandma Meilenberg because she had passed away earlier, and they said we could use her for that. So that's the reason why she's over there.
Is there anything else that you can think of about funeral and death and dying?
No, not really. The only thing, after I lost my son, it took me a while to accept the fact. And then I began to think about my Christian background. And I thought, you know, maybe the good Lord needed him worse than I did. Maybe his dad needed him worse than I did. And so that way I was able to hand it over
mm-hmm.
better.
Well, thank you for sharing.